Certainly, you know, you kind of talked about that maybe in evangelism terms. I was thinking in terms of perhaps preaching at a funeral, that no matter what it may seem like, even, for example, at the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, that you know that God... Yeah. All right. John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. Now, the connection here is somewhat limp. It probably in verse 26 with the sheep hearing the voice and so on, but it is not the I am the good shepherd passage. So let's take a look at John 10, 22 to 30. Jesus has... just been accused. Well, look at verse 19. A schisma arose among the Jews on account of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and minotai, and he's mad. Now, you know, it is really interesting how Jesus was always accused of this kind of stuff. His own relatives thought so when they were waiting outside the house. Certainly he was also accused of being a drunkard and so on. Now others were saying, though, in verse 21, these pramata, these utterances, are not of a person who is being demonized. It isn't true, is it, starting with May, that a demon is able to open eyes of blind people. So they're kind of just reading the signs here. So 22. And it came to pass then at Gennata. What came to pass? Ta enkainea. Now, I had to look this up. It is something that has to do with kainos, something new. What this is... this is the phrase for the Hanukkah feast, Hanukkah, which is the making new or renewing of the temple after the desecration by the idol of Zeus under the Seleucids. The first Hanukkah on the 11th day, I guess it is, of Kislev, was in 164 B.C., when they relit the holy fire and had purified the temple and so on, and renewed it, made it new again. So this is the new days, the feast days, the new things. So we could probably just say, I think this would be fair enough to translate. Then the Hanukkah festival occurred among the Jerusalemites. Chaimon Ein, it was winter. Well, right, because Hanukkah is in December. Now, it struck me that the line, it was winter, is kind of like the line in John 15 when Judas goes out to betray him, and then it says, and it was night. Now, I think you got to read on level two here. You know, what is the significance of it being winter time? Well, namely that it is a cold and dark situation that he is in, and not only literally, but also, I guess you would say, figuratively. And peri epatai ha Jesus, and Jesus proceeded to walk. And remember, peripateo is to walk around. The peripatetic philosophers were named for that. In the temple, in the stoa, the portico of Solomon. Now, that's the area on the outside with the pillars. 24. Ekiklosan un auton hoiudaioi kai elegan auto. Now, I mean, this is a great sort of description here. And you definitely get a sort of a negative feel to it of them circling him with that sort of symbolic talk of it was winter. Then, remember in John, doesn't usually just mean therefore, it's then. Then the Jews, kiklao, encircled him, and proceeded to say to him, Heos pote tein psychein hemon iris. Until when will you lift up our spirit? What the heck is that? Well, I looked this up in a Cheetomatic, a New Testament lexicon, and it says, in this one verse, it means, keep us in suspense. Now, this didn't sound reasonable to me. So I looked it up in Liddell and Scott. And there is no meaning, keep us in suspense. So, no, they didn't even list this passage. But there is a meaning, which is apparently fairly common, which is to get people... Well, iro means to lift up, to take up. And it means, like, to get people's hopes up. That's just the best way to say it. To get people's spirits up, to get their hopes up. Not really to keep them in suspense, but get them excited. So I think maybe that might be the way to handle this passage. Not until when or how long will you keep us in suspense, but I think we could translate this. How long will you get our hopes up? If you are the Christ, tell us paresia in boldness, boldly. Paresia is boldness. Jesus replied to them, I told you, and you did not believe. Now, notice the side margin reference of 4:26. That's the story of the woman at the well in Samaria, where he openly says, she says, we are waiting for Messiah to come, and he will tell us all things. And then he says, I who speak to you am he. So he openly says that. Ta erga ha ego poyo, the works which I do in the name of my Father, these bear witness concerning me, martyri. Now notice, martyri is singular because ta erga is a neuter plural, and a neuter plural can take a singular verb. Now, for those guys who are in hermeneutics here, I'm going to make the point today in class, which I had forgotten about until preparing this lesson. Note here that Jesus is appealing to what you might call level 2 evidence. He says, the works bear witness. See, not just the words, but the works. So you ought to be doing what? You ought to be reading the signs. It is not only proper to do it, it is necessary to do it. The words, the things, these things bear witness concerning me. Allah, but you guys do not believe because not are you out of the sheep, the my ones. You are not of my sheep. For, do we have any beginning Greek students here? No, I don't think so. That emon is the possessive adjective, emus. So in other words, it works like an adjective. Notice it's not emu. It doesn't work like a pronoun where you put it in the genitive. It's an adjective, works like a possessive adjective, and therefore it is my sheep. And as a possessive adjective, it is more emphatic than saying moo or emu. So, you guys do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep. Now, I think if you want to let the other shoe drop here, what's kind of interesting is the verses that we looked right at right ahead of this pericope, where he's being accused of being in league with the demons. Yeah. So you're not my sheep. I'll tell you whose sheep you are, and it's not my sheep. 27. Ta probata ta emma, the sheep, the my ones, my sheep, tes phones mu akousin, hear my voice, kago, kai ego, and I know them, and akaluthusin moi, they follow me. Remember, akalutheo takes the dative, and so instead of having me, it's moi. Now, what's interesting here, and I puzzled about this a little bit, you notice tes phones is used. Now, I got a couple of guys in here like Jeffrey and Ayrton from Luke. We talked about that akuo plus the genitive and akuo plus the accusative. You'd sort of expect the accusative here. That is to say that they hear with understanding. Because generally, akuo plus the genitive is you just hear the sounds. Like, for example, if I were to say, we turn on the portable set here and I say, can you hear me back here? That's definitely akuo plus the genitive. But if I say, now look, I've told you this a couple of times. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't mean, do you get the audio? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? So, I'm not sure what we should make of this. Many people claim that you can't push this distinction, and this might be an example of why you can't. However, the following occurred to me. It could mean something like this. My sheep listen to me. I mean, not that they hear with understanding and understand what I'm talking about, but my sheep are the guys who spend time around me and actually hear my voice, and they follow me. See, you guys don't do this. You go here and there, hit and miss. You accuse me of all this kind of stuff. And as a result, you really don't know what I'm about. I don't know. But I think it is interesting that classical genitive is used there. And whether or not we can load this up in some way is an interesting question. But at any rate, like I say, you'd sort of expect the accusative. But the one thing that that you have to learn when you're working with text is never to say, the author should have done this. You know? Well, unless there's a grammatical error or something like that, like hina plus the indicative or something. But with this, he's got a choice, and he chose this one. And I think you could translate it like this. I think this would be fair. You could say, my sheepses listen to my voice. I'm not focusing on hearing with understanding now, just that they hear me, they listen. Like you say, people come to church and listen to God's word. Now, whether they get it all or not, it's not the point. The point is, they're coming and listening to it. See? They listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I think that's a good way to take it. Yes, David.
Isn't there a distinction that the genitive is for hearing people, and the accusative
is for hearing voices? No, that doesn't work out in Acts. With that business of the conversion of Saul, you know. I don't think that plays out. That's the trouble with these kind of things. This kind of stuff works about 80% of the time or something like that. And you just can't make it fit all the time. There was another hand over on this side. Okay. Yeah, well, that's right. Now, he's saying that in John it says that only the sheep hear the voice and so forth. I think there's something to that. And that's why I think it's related. It's not surprising that it's related to akalutheo here in this verse. That the people who are around him listen to him, they listen to him, and they follow him. Yeah, whether they understand it all or not is really kind of immaterial. That's good. 28. And I, ditto me, boy, there's a good case, a Piesker. Yeah, I forgot, you're in both of these classes. No, you're not either. I'm getting that mixed up with Blythe. Sorry. We don't have any beginning Greek guys here now. But ditto me, we were just on the me verbs 2 weeks or 10 days ago. That's just a dictionary form. And I am giving them, or I give them, I habitually give them, eternal life. And ume apollontai, ume plus the aorist subjunctive, will mean an emphatic denial. And they shall surely not perish into the age. That is, forever. And they will surely not perish forever. It doesn't mean they will perish a short time, but they will not perish at all. Apollontai. Now, look. Let's parse that form. That's third person plural, aorist subjunctive middle. And remember, the middle forms of apolemi are the ones that are intransitive and have the meanings like perish and be lost, whereas the active forms are transitive and have a meaning like lose or destroy. So this is, they shall surely not ever perish, and not will somebody harpasai snatch them out of my hand. Now, harpazo is a kind of a thieving term. It's to grab and take something, to snatch it away. Kind of like they say in Italy, these guys ride around on these Vespa scooters and snatch purses out of the hands of unwary travelers and stuff like that. That's harpazo. Now the next verse, Andy, is an example of what you were talking about with this problem of text criticism. The only thing is, unlike this other one, where you can perhaps do a reasonable job, this one is really tough. Ha pater mu, my father. Now let's do this kind of literalistically. That which he has given to me is greater than all things. And now we can continue. No one is able to snatch out of the hand of my father. Now, you can see that there's those little roof-type marks that extend from the ha in front of dedoken to the maizun after pantone. And I think without looking, actually, at the variant reading below, and by the way, if you've got the new Nestle text, it's at the first line of the apparatus, over on the right side. It's the second entry under verse 29. You can pretty well guess what the basic one is going to be, and that is, my father who has given me all things, not that which he has given me. And sure enough, you'll notice that the first variant there of P66 is hos and then dedoken. And then that's li. Now I'm in the second line of the apparatus, right under verse 29 symbol there. You get my zone. See, with an omega rather than an omicron, my zone. Now that makes it masculine. So that would be my father who has given to me all things. Is my son is great? No, I'm sorry. My father, who has given to me, is greater than all. Pantone, because the my zone is masculine going with father, and the hus is masculine going with father. Now, there's all kinds of variations on this, all kinds of variations, as you can see, but the basic variation is to put in the hus rather than the ha. With the exception, now go to the third line of the apparatus. In the third line of the apparatus, you have the reading of Aleph, D, L, W, C, and a few others. It retains the ha, but then changes the maizun to maizon, to the masculine. Now, this would read something like the following. My father, that which he has given to me, he is greater than all. Well, he is greater than all which he has given to me, or something like that. It's a kind of a bizarre sort of a reading there. You can really see, though, why there are a lot of variants here, because somehow that which he has given to me is greater than all things. It's hard to know what the heck that's supposed to mean, because it seems to go against the point of the passage. The point of the passage isn't that what he's given to me is greater than all things, and therefore the evil can't harm him. The point of the passage is the guy who gave all things is greater than others. You know, this is this, thou says, prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies and got all the grease from the mess hall on my face. So it's hard to know what to do with this exactly. Now, I notice Bob up in the front here has a Cheeto English translation. What does that say? So just read what it says for verse 29.
My Father who has given them to me is greater than all.
Yeah, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. You'll notice in the second line of the apparatus, there is an auta which is added in some texts. And that is the them that you're translating there, although it's not added in very many. It's in family for 13 and a few others. I think that it is almost inevitable that the variant is going to read my zone, rather than my zon. And please remember that for the sake of pronunciation, the Omicron and the Omega were pronounced identically in the first century, so that's actually not too big a difficulty. And then it says, and no one is able to snatch out of the hand of my Father. Now, notice in that passage, out of the hand of the Father, sorry. Note in that passage that harpazine is present aspectually, not aorist. So I think I would translate it something like this. No one is able to begin to snatch or to actually snatch or to try to snatch even or something like that. But it's interesting that present, we've got to get that connective focus in there. No one is able to engage in snatching when it comes to God's people. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Now, it's interesting, they've paragraphed this to end there. Look at the next line. Again, the Jews bore stones in order that they might stone him. Well, they could, you know, kind of get the point here, couldn't they, as to what this is. He says you should read the deeds. Now he pretty plainly tells them, just like they ask him to tell them. Notice that I and the Father are one is hen, not heis. I suppose, now there's all kinds of stuff you can theologize on that, but I suppose this is not to be seen as a theological statement, narrowly speaking, but as more, I think, one unified in purpose at our opera ad extra or something like that, rather than I and the Father are one divinity or something. I don't think the neuter would quite bear that. See, this is as opposed to, just flip quickly to Galatians 3:28, the famous 3:28. See, it says in the last part of Galatians 3:28, where he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, and so on. For you all are one in Christ Jesus, and that's heis. That's not hen. So it's not unified in purpose. There I think it's one because as the body of Christ, you are one entity in the kind of thing he's talking about right here. See? That's why he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. He's not saying that on this level there isn't. He is saying as we relate to Christ, we are the body, There are many parts to the body, but we are the body, and Christ is the head. Okay, very good. Thanks very much.